It is time to get started. If you would, find a seat and grab a hymnal. Our first hymn this morning, number 63, What a Day That Will Be. Hymn number 63, What a Day That Will Be. Hymn 63, starting there on the first.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day,
singing this morning. We're going to open with a word of prayer. If you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for another opportunity to freely gather, to sing praises in your name, just to hear preaching from your word. I pray that you would be with this service, both morning and evening, that everything would be done decently and in order, and that you would just have your hand of protection on us and our families, especially as we go our separate ways into the next week. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn this morning, 397, Little Is Much When God Is In It, 397, Little Is Much When God Is In It, 397 there on the first.
In the harvest field now right then, there's a word. You can win it if you'll go in Jesus.
church. This time we're going to go through our announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. We do have our Bible memory verse of the week, Genesis chapter number 1, verse 9. Keep working hard on that memory chapter. We do have on the left side our service time, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 4:30, and we will be continuing our series through the sayings of Jesus on the cross this evening, so please join us for that. Then Wednesday, our Bible study through Proverbs at 7 o'clock. Below that, all of our soul-winning times are listed, and those meet here at the church building. Then we have our year-to-date statistics. We got another update from Brother Theodore over in the Philippines, and he's still doing really well. It brings our yearly salvation total to 1790, so praise God for that. Keep praying for Brother Theodore as he's over there. I think he's coming back in October, so he's got about a month and a half left, so keep him in prayer, please. Also, our upcoming events, remember that next week, or this upcoming week, I should say, is the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship at Steadfast Baptist Church. Really excited to be going down there and preaching. Hope you guys could make it, or at least check out those sermons online. And then September 6th is our next Soul Winning Marathon. That's going to be in Ardmore, Oklahoma. It's been a really receptive area in time past, so we're looking forward to giving that area another shot. The next day after is our men's preaching night, followed by potluck and game night. And I had asked someone, whoever the Holy Ghost lays upon you, to bring sourdough. I just want one person to bring some sourdough. So please, if we could do that, that'd be great. Then October 6th through the 11th is the Bahamas mission trip. Lots of great events coming up. On the right, we do have our visitor card that you could fill out online, as well as information about online giving. And then we do have some prayer requests. The most recent update is Brother Theodore's grandmother is having surgery on the 25th on her shoulder, so keep her in prayer. Man, speaking of shoulders, you have to pray for Pastor Reyes, too, because he's having surgery on his shoulder. It's not a fun surgery. I can speak from experience on that, so keep those two in prayer. That's going to be it for our announcements this morning. We'll go ahead and go to our third song.
All right, our third song this morning, 236. No, not one. 236. 236. No, not one.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Like the Lord.
offering plates are being passed, turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter number 17.
John chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Whose that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they also may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and glorify, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thankful for these that are gathered here today. Pray that you'd help us to set aside the cares of the week, to focus on the preaching of your word. I pray that you'd fill Pastor Oz with your spirit and your clarity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Man, all right, we are in John chapter 17. Let's start reading in verse 14. The Bible says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And here we have a great chapter where Jesus Christ is praying to God the Father. And one of the things that he asks of God the Father is that we, God's people, his children, would not be taken out of the world. We would still be in the world, but that we would be kept from the evil. And that's really the principle of separation that the Bible teaches, is that God wants us to be in the world, but not of the world. He does not want us to go build our own parallel civilization out in the woods and have our little compound, be like Waco or something like that. You know, a lot of Christians, their dream is just to get out of society and live in the woods their whole life and away from people. But you know what? That's not a very loving attitude to have, because God has called us to reach people with the gospel, teach the Great Commission. But of course, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to live, act, look, speak differently than the world, though we are in the world. And how do we do that? Well, we do it through God's truth. We don't base our life on our own opinions, our own ideas. We base it on the Word of God. But what I've noticed is that when it comes to biblical separation, over the last several decades, what happens is the world or the left or the Democrats, they obviously just keep moving farther and farther away from the Bible, where just like, for example, the Democrats of John F. Kennedy's day would have no resemblance to the Democrats of today. They're like way different. But what happens is conservatives, Republicans, and even so-called Christians, they keep moving farther away from the Bible with them. They just stay a distance away from the left. So instead of us basing our beliefs and our lifestyle on the Bible and, hey, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, we're going to stay with what the Bible says, what happens is conservatives and Christians, they keep moving farther away from the Bible, but they just stay a distance away from the left. So it's like, you know, in time past, every Christian would know that abortion is murder, for example. And it would just be a horrific sin for a Christian to go murder their child. But many Christians today will say, well, unless the woman was raped, well, unless it was incest, unless it, you know, she was a victim of some sort of crime, then all of a sudden conservatives are okay with murdering babies. But they think, oh man, I'm so based because I'm against abortion in most situations. But really, they're just a smidge away from what the world's standards are. And this is just a reality for a lot of things right now. What is this word based? Okay, my boomer in Christ, we might have some boomers in here. And so let me help you understand what this word based means. Okay, to be based in slang means to be authentic, unfiltered, and true to your beliefs or personality. Often in defiance of societal norms or political correctness, it's about standing firm in your beliefs, even if they're controversial, and expressing them confidently without caring about criticism or woke backlash. And so conservatives of our day take pride in being based. And they'll call themselves based. And really, like, the way I've seen that term used is just someone who believes the truth about a subject when that truth is unpopular or when that truth is controversial. And they'll say, man, I'm so based. You know, Catholics love to call themselves based. They think they're so based on everything. And, you know, a lot of Christians will say this type of term. But here's the thing. Those who are truly based are those who are basing their views on the Bible, on Christianity, not just having, oh, we're a little bit of a distance away from the world. No, whose base is actually who's way over here where the Bible draws the line. John 17, look at verse 14 again. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Here's how you can know if you're truly based, is if the world hates you. Jesus was actually based, and he was hated to the point of people trying to murder him. And you know what I've noticed? The world hates new IFB pastors. The world hates new IFB Christians. We're the ones who are actually basing our beliefs on the Bible. Because while the Republicans are over here saying like, oh, marriage is between one man and one woman, and we need to fight for the sanctity of marriage. We're over here at Leviticus 20:13. Like, hey, they should be put to death. You know, the world today is celebrating abortion and loving abortion, and the Republicans like, we're so base, we're against it, except for rape, and except for, we're saying like, hey, put people who commit abortion to death. That should be a capital crime in our society. But think about this. Republicans today, many of them are totally fine with fornication. Totally fine with fornication. They promote harlots on TV. The Fox News talking heads, the pundits on TV are a bunch of whores, are a bunch of harlots dressed inappropriately. Many Republicans are totally fine with drinking alcohol. It's kind of like a point of country pride if you drink whiskey and bourbon, and it's so conservative to drink alcohol nowadays. Okay, many Republicans are okay with women pastors. I know many Baptists in my life that are totally fine with women pastors. You know, many Republicans are totally cool with women being in politics, and they'd be excited to vote for someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene for president of the United States because she's so based, right? Yet, how far away from the Bible are these views when you actually look at what the Bible says? Go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. You know, you have to realize that just because Republicans are not as bad as the Democrats, and just because the Republicans are not just openly worshiping Satan, does not mean that they're good, and does not mean that they're anywhere close to what the Bible actually teaches. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So notice, God has to tell us not to be conformed to this world. Why? Because we have the flesh, and the flesh is naturally going to be like the world. We, in our natural flesh, we're not going to think the way God thinks. We're not going to hold all the same opinions that God holds. That's why we have to renew our mind by actually reading the Bible to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you know, this is why it's so important not to lean on your own understanding and be the type of person that just follows whatever the news trend is right now and whatever the conservatives are excited about right now, because that's not proving what is good. You have to prove it from the Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. The Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, when I see a bunch of Christians lining up lockstep with everything the Republican Party says, I could show you a bunch of Christians that are not separated, that are not renewing their mind, that are not reading the Bible, because the Republican Party today is not pushing God's agenda. Sure, there could be some exceptions of good people like Ryan Walters, the Oklahoma State Superintendent for Education. He's trying to push the King James Bible into schools. Hey, praise God for guys like that, but he's the minority. And you know what's funny about him? He's hated by the Republicans. The governor hates him. It's like, hey, if you're of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world hates you, right? So, hey, you want to see someone who's based? Ryan Walters is pretty based. Now, I don't think he's as based as us, because I don't think he'd probably be in that position if he was as based as us. But the fact that he's hated even by the governor and other Republicans, I'm like, I give him the benefit of the doubt. But you show me all these Christians, though, that line up with the mainline conservative Republican Party. It's a people that is not separated. It's a people that's not reading their Bible. And here's the thing. There's been a controversy lately that has made national news. It may have even been international news that has just shown me how far from God and how far from biblical Christianity many Christians are today. And that is this Sidney Sweeney controversy. Who has heard of Sidney Sweeney and the controversy going on? Wow, okay, you guys are just so much more godly. Just never go online whatsoever. Okay, well, everyone else knows what this is, okay? Let me help you understand what this is. By the way, the title of my sermon this morning is Sidney Sweeney is Not Based. Sidney Sweeney is Not Based. Here's the Sidney Sweeney controversy. This is from Forbes magazine. Sidney Sweeney's Good Jeans ad controversy explained. Sidney Sweeney's Good Jeans ad for American Eagle sparked backlash, commentary, and debate online. Here's the controversy explained. American Eagle's newest ad campaign starring Sidney Sweeney sparked backlash online as a video of Sweeney in a Canadian tuxedo talking about her good jeans was accused of delivering a regressive message. What is the controversy? In one of several videos for American Eagle's ad campaigns, Sweeney delivers a little talk about DNA, saying genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My genes are blue. So she's like playing on words about her blue genes. Sweeney concludes, with the ad delivering the now famous line, Sydney Sweeney has good genes. Online progressive commentators seem disturbed by the ad and criticized the Euphoria star for catering to the male gaze. So on one hand, you have the left that's super upset because of the fact that companies are no longer putting fat, disgusting trannies in ads. And so, like, the left is upset because they don't want to see, like, a young, fit, attractive female because that's just anathema to them. You know, the left just, like, tries to make themselves as ugly as possible. It's like a spiritual sickness. You know, they want to put the lip ring in and the nose ring in and turn their hair blue. Or have you seen the ladies? They'll do this. They'll have long hair on one side and just shave their head on the other. Man, you see that in Portland all the time. It's like the left just hates anything natural, anything normal. And so Sydney Sweeney, like a blonde, blue-eyed, white, fit girl, is just like the worst thing on earth to them, okay? So the left is upset for that reason. It says others viewed the focus on the good genes of a conventionally attractive, blue-eyed, blonde woman as some kind of eugenicist dog whistle. So, of course, it's racist. Many criticized the pushback against the clip with sparked counter-reaction from content creators who heralded the ad as a cultural victory. In the last few years, fierce controversies have been sparked by commercials, with commentators seemingly viewing ad campaigns as the battleground for a never-ending culture war. After a period of faux progressive ad campaigns and reactionary backlashes, such as the non-binary Mr. Potato Head, I miss that ad, I don't know what that's talking about, or the Bud Light fiasco, I do remember that one, where some tranny was in an ad for Bud Light, and Bud Light was just marketing this tranny for their ad. The pendulum has now swung the opposite way. Now it's progressives who are expressing outrage over advertisements. The Sweeney ad sparked discourse, then memes and mockery, as commentators tried to make sense of the controversy and gauge how much outrage the campaign had really caused. The White House even commented on the controversy. So when I say everyone knows about this, like the president, the VP, everyone has been commenting on this situation. The spokesperson for the White House, Stephen Chung, describes the backlash as cancel culture run amok. This warped, moronic, and dense liberal thinking is a reason why Americans voted the way they did in 2024. They are tired of this BS. In a statement posted on Instagram on Friday, American Eagle said the controversial ad campaign is and always was about the genes, her story. We will continue to celebrate how everyone wears their genes with confidence in their way. Great genes look good on everyone. So that's the controversy. People are upset because she is a white blonde woman in an ad and not a fat tranny, okay? That's one reason. Also, people are upset because they're saying, like, this is a dog whistle for racism because apparently it's okay to be any other color than white. It's like we could celebrate Asians, we could celebrate Latinos, we could celebrate black beauty, all that. But it's like if a white girl is being celebrated for her beauty, well, then that's Adolf Hitler, that's, you know, eugenicist, that's all this crazy stuff. That's why the left's moving their line, losing their mind. But then the right, instead of looking at things through a biblical perspective, they just think like, well, the left is mad, therefore we must love this. The left is mad about something, therefore we must support this ad. But here's the thing. Just because we don't like the movement of, you know, commercials pushing trannies on us and pushing sodomy and pushing just all this woke nonsense does not suddenly mean that we get excited about a literal whore. Like, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to base our beliefs on what the Bible says. And it's like, yes, we could look at the left's insanity and say, like, yeah, it's bad to be pushing all this woke nonsense. Yeah, they're out of their mind. Yeah, they accuse everything of being racist. But does that mean all of a sudden that we start cheering a woman who takes off her clothes for a living? Is that really what we're going to be excited about as Christians? And it just showed me, like, wow, Christians aren't reading their Bible. Wow, Christians are not separated unto God. When, here's the thing, throughout this controversy, I've seen many Christians sharing, reposting the ad campaign of Sydney Sweeney and getting all excited about it and rah, rah, Sydney Sweeney. It's like, what is wrong with you folks? Sydney Sweeney is not based. Sydney Sweeney is not Christianity. This is not where we should be drawing the line. You know what? We should get an actual biblical perspective on this controversy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Let's get a biblical perspective this morning. Number one, Sydney Sweeney shouldn't be wearing jeans at all. That's the actual Bible view. Oh, Sydney Sweeney has great jeans. Oh, Sydney Sweeney's so attractive. Okay, here's what the Bible says. She shouldn't be wearing jeans at all.
Right.
Oh, man, it's so great that we're getting back to femininity and we can get away from the fat pride movement and we can get away from all the trannies. Isn't it so great that such a feminine woman is being shown to us? You mean the woman who's literally wearing a man's garment? That's how warped your mind is. You're excited about a woman who is cross-dressing. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Amen.
You got a bunch of Christians today that are getting excited and sharing online and cheering on Sydney Sweeney, who is an abomination to God. If you actually believe the Bible says that a woman's not to put on a man's garment. What would that be? Let's just use our brains for 2 seconds. Is that a shirt? Is that a scarf? Is that socks? Is that some sort of undergarment, folks? No, it's obviously talking about pants. And just reality shows you this because you go to the public bathroom. What does it show you? It shows you a little silhouette picture of a woman in a dress. Why? Because women have worn dresses and skirts throughout all of human history. And by the way, men have worn pants throughout all of human history as well. Jesus did not wear a dress, folks. How do you know Jesus didn't wear a dress? Because that would make him a sinner. That's why. Because that would make him an abomination to God if you actually believe the Bible here. No, it's ridiculous. Don't fall into this trap of just to think like, oh, less bad equals good. Like, this is the mentality Christians have today. Oh, Sydney Sweeney is less bad than the tranny ads. Hey, I will grant you that. I will agree with that. You know, this at least is normal sin. You know, there's natural temptations in this world. There are unnatural sins that only reprobates are into. No one wants to see a tranny even alive. Not to mention, you know, see some sort of ad push towards you and think like, ooh, I'm going to buy this company's product because I saw this disgusting tranny. No, these companies just like nuked themselves when they did this kind of stuff. And yeah, if you want to make a bunch of money from just a carnal perspective, I could see why they're choosing someone like Sydney Sweeney. But can we divorce understanding something through a human logic and what the Bible actually says? We should be sticking with what the Bible says, that this is an abomination. Go to Leviticus chapter number 6. Leviticus chapter number 6. Leviticus 6 verse 10, the Bible says, and the priest shall put on his linen garment, notice this, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. So notice how the priest was to put on linen breeches, which that word is very similar to breeches, which is just an old English word talking about pants. Breeches, Hosen, in German, that's still the word for pants today. Hosen, breeches, breeches, these are all talking about pants. And so notice how, who wore them though? The priests wore them. You don't see women wearing pants. And even Jesus Christ in Revelation 1, where it describes the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, it talks about how he's girt with a garment. He was wearing a garment down to the foot. And people will be like, see, look, Jesus is wearing a dress because he's wearing a garment down to the foot. Okay, I want you to look at my pants right now. Do you see this? This garment goes down to my foot. Let's use our brains a little bit here. Old Testament, breeches. Old Testament, hosen. Go to Daniel chapter number 3. We'll see that word. And it's always men. In Daniel chapter number 3, Daniel 3 verse 21, the Bible says, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You could find just tons of places in the Bible where the Bible describes men wearing pants. You can find the Bible describing women wearing pants exactly zero times. And when you see in Deuteronomy, it's saying, hey, the woman's not supposed to put on a man's garment. We can conclude that is definitely talking about pants. If it's not, what is it talking about? And, you know, I've had people come up with this idea of like, well, it's okay if it's woman's pants. Well, because if you go to the store, they have the women's department so they could wear women's pants. It's like, that's just your mind being worldly and not being, you know, rooted in the Word of God. Because if we lived in a society where there was a men's dress department, would you be okay with that? Because honestly, the way our country has been going the last couple decades, I wouldn't be surprised if someday there was something like a men's dress department. But you know what? Just as abominable would it be for a man to wear a dress in the eyes of God, you're still an abomination if you are a woman that wears pants. Now look, of course, we live in such a society that's very far from the Bible, and people don't grow up hearing these things. People grow up just living their lives. And if some visitor walks into this church, some woman comes into this church and wears pants, I will never in a million years, you know, say something to her, tell her she's not allowed. You know, I would hope no one would ever try to make a visitor feel bad about something like that. That's just ridiculous, because it's just unfortunate that our culture has been saturated with this cross-dressing mentality. Now, thank God, it is still super taboo for a man to be wearing a dress. So if a man comes in here wearing a dress, they should be physically thrown out of the building as soon as possible, because that person is obviously some sort of pedophile, reprobate, sick person. Okay? But yeah, you know, I've had people tell me, oh, are we even allowed to show up at your church if we wear pants? Are we even allowed to show up at your church events if we wear pants? And it's like, of course. You know, we're not going to police that type of thing. But here's the thing. You, of your own heart, should love God's word, and the Holy Spirit should be convicting you when you're reading this to want to do right. And as for me and my house, I will force my family, for my daughters and for my wife, to wear skirts and dresses. Thankfully, they all want to do that anyways, but if they didn't, I would force my family to do right. And men should force their families to do right. They are the head of the home. You should make sure your family's following the Lord. But again, some visitor comes in here, some lady's wearing pants. Don't make that person feel bad. Don't say something to them about that. Let the preaching of God's word and the reading of God's word convict them as they grow in the Lord. But we don't need to be like a jerk to people like that. But here's the thing. When I'm talking to God's people who know the word of God, and they're getting all excited about Sydney Sweeney, it's like, hello, Sydney Sweeney shouldn't be wearing jeans. I don't care how good her jeans are. She shouldn't be wearing them at all. She should be wearing skirts and dresses. I'll read for you Job 40, verse 7. The Bible says, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. There's this phrase in the Bible, to gird up your loins like a man. Meaning only men do this, okay? Let me explain what this is. It says, in ancient times, men in the Middle East often wore long, loose robes or tunics that reached the ankles. Now, I agree with that. I agree that men probably wore those long robes and stuff like that in the Middle East, but that's not a dress necessarily. And here's what they were wearing in addition to that, pants. Okay, so they wore these long robes or tunics that sometimes reached the ankles. These garments could hinder movement during physical activity, like working, running, or fighting. To gird up the loins like a man meant to tuck the hem of the robe into a belt or sash around the waist, effectively turning the rope into a shorter, more practical garment that freed the legs for action. This was done by girding the clothing around the loins. So, hey, belts are not a new thing. Men had these longer garments, probably to keep them shaded from the sun. You know, it's just super hot over there. And whenever they had to work, run, do construction, fight or something like that, the men would gird up their loins like a man. They'd pull that garment up and they would tie it around their waist. Now, again, it's like a man because could you imagine a woman doing this? This would be very unseemly for a woman to just pick up her dress and just cinch that sucker up and tie it up. No, that would be inappropriate. Everyone knows that that's not something a woman would do. And you say, well, then how are women going to fight in combat then? They're not. That's kind of the point. Well, how are we going to have women police officers? We shouldn't have women police officers. Well, how is there going to be, you know, women construction foremen telling all the guys what to do? The burly lesbian barking orders. She should be put to death. Okay, she shouldn't be doing construction. We don't need a bunch of burly lesbians running the show today. Oh, well, how are they going to ride a horse? I don't know. I mean, haven't you ever seen like old Victorian movie? The ladies do it with a dress. Anything that a lady should be doing, she should be able to do with a dress. And if you can't do it with a dress or a skirt on, maybe it's something that you shouldn't be doing. How are you going to fast rope down a Black Hawk in Somalia? You're not. Okay? You know what's going to happen? The men are going to wear belts, and they're going to do a man's job. By the way, you know, you got communities today that like to sag their pants and not wear a belt. And it's like, what's wrong with you? How are you going to get any work done? How are you going to run anywhere? How are you going to fight? How are you going to do anything without a belt? Real men wear belts. Teach your kids to gird up their loins like a man. Don't wear these little, you know, don't teach your sons to wear these little elastic pants that have no belt or something like that. Teach them to wear a belt from a young age. Teach them to tie a tie as well while you're at it. You know, you got these little cheat ties for kids, you know. Teach them how to do some man things because it's lacking today in our society. We need to have some men today. Go to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. And also, you think about just history. It was not common in America for women to be wearing pants until about the 1960s. Many states had laws against it. And even just culturally, it's a pretty new thing that you see women wearing pants. It wasn't until I believe it was 1969 was the first year that a U.S. Congresswoman wore pants in the House of Representatives. And it was news because a woman was wearing pants in the House of Representatives. That used to not be allowed. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, notice what it says. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Bible saying, hey, woe unto you if there's something evil, something bad that you're saying is good. You know what? That's what this Sydney Sweeney ad is. This is not something that's godly. This is not something that would be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ would sit down and watch the Sydney Sweeney ads? Do you think that he would share Sydney Sweeney ads on Facebook? Do you think he would cheer on and exalt Sydney Sweeney for just exposing her body and cross-dressing? It's like, woe unto America when this is the state of conservatism. Like, the symbol for conservatism today is a woman who's cross-dressing. And all these people are all over the internet saying, we are so back, baby. America's so back. Posting Sydney Sweeney ads. It's like, if this is America being back, I want to go back way farther than that. You know what I mean? Oh, we're so back. You know, people, ever since this happened, all of a sudden people have just felt okay with sharing smut and promiscuity and just girls dancing everywhere. You know, for example, all of a sudden after this ad got posted, all of these colleges started posting videos of sororities doing like their promo video, like girl sororities doing a promo video. And it's all these like white girls dancing. And I see all these conservative commentators, all these political pundits, all these Republicans reposting this stuff saying like, yeah, America's so back, baby. Wow. Sluts in college makes America back, right? Isn't it so great at a bunch of whores in college dancing around, showing their body? That's conservatism being back. You know, would you want that for your daughters? Would you want your sons to find a woman like that to marry? Would you want your sons to marry Sydney Sweeney someday? You know, that would be horrible in my book. Amen. Number two, let's get a biblical view on this. Okay, so number one, Sydney Sweeney shouldn't be wearing jeans at all. That's actually the base view, okay? Number two, Sydney Sweeney is a literal whore. She is a literal whore. Here's the definition of a whore in the dictionary. A person who engages in sex acts for money. A prostitute. A person who is sexually promiscuous. She is a woman who literally sells her body on the big screen. She's an actress. And by the way, actresses are just whores. That's what they are. Actresses sell their body for the screen. Sell their body for whatever movie they're making. And you know what they're often doing in these movies? They're often engaging in these type of acts, these physical acts, or simulating these type of physical acts for money. Sydney Sweeney is literally a woman who takes off her clothes for a living. And we got Christians be like, yeah, America's so back. You're celebrating a literal whore. But, you know, men are so simple, and men are such a one-track-minded creature. They're just like, oh, pretty girl, must mean she's awesome, must mean she's great. No, she's actually a literal whore. She literally sells her body for money, depicts acts for money. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. You know, we have a lot of brainwashed Christians today when people are getting excited about celebrating a whore, about celebrating someone like Sydney Sweeney. Leviticus 19, verse 29. The Bible says, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. You know, one of the first times I read this, this is a really shocking command because I'm thinking, who would prostitute their daughter? Who would prostitute their daughter to cause her to be a whore? Like, why does God even have to tell us not to do this? Isn't this just common sense? Wouldn't we all just naturally not want to prostitute our daughters to cause them to be whores? Okay, well, here's the thing. Sydney Sweeney started acting in 2009. She was born the same year as me, 1997. She was 12 years old. You know what that means? She did not, of her own will, of her own volition, get into this industry. You know what happens? Her parents just fed her into the meat grinder. That's what happens. You know, today parents, because they have the love of money, They'll have some, you know, handsome-looking young man's son, or they'll have some attractive, beautiful young daughter, and instead of guarding her, having her grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, giving her off to a godly husband someday to be his wife, instead, at 12 years old, her parents just fed her to the Jewish wolves known as Hollywood and just turned her over basically into sex acts, basically into just revealing her body for the male gaze, for this industry. And you know what a wicked thing to do to a 12-year-old. You know, I think parents are insane for wanting their kids to go into modeling and acting and stuff like that. You know, I've had, in my extended family, I've had people try to get into this industry. And you know what? It's full of sodomites. It is full of sodomites. And, like, their family lived in North Idaho in the Coeur d'Alene area, Spokane area, very nice, conservative, you know, fairly Christian area. And they moved her to L.A. And in 2009, as a 12-year-old, just started feeding her to the wolves. And then her whole career has been her just being a whore and her just revealing her body for the screen, her simulating these disgusting acts for the screen. You know when that started? When she was a child, when she was literally a child. That's why the Bible says, do not prostitute thy daughter, to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. And notice this sin, it doesn't just affect the woman involved in that or the man involved in that. It affects like the whole land. And aren't we seeing that today? Aren't we seeing just like tons of Christians, tons of conservatives causing their heart to be drawn away after this whore? You know, this is a very, very tempting sin for men today, and it needs to be preached against. Go to Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea chapter number 4. Man, all this talk about whores is just in my brain here. But that's what this verse is going to talk about. Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Notice, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Promoting whoredom in America, promoting a woman that takes off her clothes for a living, promoting harlotry, you know, telling young people it's okay to commit fornication. Notice what it does. It takes away the heart. It affects you spiritually. And, you know, if you are a woman who's living in this type of industry, you think you're going to be close to the Lord? Do you think you as a woman are going to be close to the Lord if you are revealing your body for the camera, on OnlyFans, engaged in prostitution? Are you going to be close to God when you're doing something like that? Okay, or men that are just feasting their eyes on women like this, just giving themselves over to lusting in their heart after someone like Sydney Sweeney, do you think you're actually going to be close to the Lord when you do that? Do you think you're going to be filled with the Spirit? Do you think you're going to be, you know, free to thrive? Do you think you're going to be an effective soul winner when you're just giving yourself over to those things? No, the Bible says whoredom and wine and new wine, it takes away the heart. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Whoredom's just one of those things that will destroy your walk with God. You know, that's why fornication, for example, is something that's not tolerated in church. If someone's committing fornication and they're confronted on it and they don't repent, the Bible says to cast that person out of church, amen, to not let them be a part of it. Because why? We don't want to set this example that this kind of stuff is okay. And that's the problem I have with Christians celebrating this, sharing this stuff, is all of a sudden people are just saying, like, this is okay, this is cool, this is good. And it's like, look, buddy, just because she's not a tranny, just because she's not some fat lesbian, does not mean all of a sudden that we need to be celebrating people taking off their clothes for the camera. Proverbs 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Notice, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So notice, this is a very big danger for men. Proverbs is generally directed towards young men. And the first, like, 10 chapters of Proverbs, I feel like there's so much talking about the strange woman, talking about the whorish woman. Why? Because this is an extreme danger for guys. And I've said this before, I think the old IFB has done men a pretty big disservice by making the physical relationship and these things so taboo that they're almost never talked about. Like, I grew up, and this is something that was just never, ever talked about. It was never talked about in the home. Just, you were not warned about this. You did not have any education about this. It was just so taboo. But then you read Proverbs, and the father is just constantly warning his son about the whorish woman, constantly warning about the strange woman. Why? Because she's a real danger. And you ought to not try to be such a holier than thou. And, you know, pastors today, they just want to project this image that they're so perfect and they're so holy. And they would never even be tempted by so much as a wicked thought. And so, of course, they never need to preach that. They never need to actually warn the men in their congregation that that's a real danger because, oh, what a heathen would ever even be tempted to even look at a woman or something like that. These warnings are in the Bible for a reason. Look, I'm not surprised that men are tripping over women like Sydney Sweeney. I'm not surprised that that is a temptation for you, but what I am surprised is that Christians aren't standing against it. That's what I'm surprised about. I don't think you're some sort of like unnatural person, that you're some sort of reprobate. Like, obviously, men are just tempted in that area. It's a natural temptation, but we should rise above our flesh. We're not just mere animals here, folks. That's what people think today, like, oh, men are just animals. They can't help it. They can't control themselves. No, we're supposed to gird up the loins of our mind. We're supposed to cast down the imaginations and the thoughts that exalt themselves against Jesus Christ. We're supposed to what? Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So notice, the Bible's acknowledging her beauty here. Like, no one's debating whether or not there are pretty girls out there, but what are you supposed to do? When you see that, you're not supposed to lust after her beauty in your heart. Neither let her take you with her eyelids. What is that? Sometimes women could use, like, this tactic to try to trap men by looking at them in a certain way. And you know what? Men are simple, and men, when they're young, should be warned about this. Because they should realize, like, oh, that's flattery. Oh, that's someone that's a bad person. You know, especially like, oh, she's married, or you're married, and you see a look like that, you should realize, like, that's a bad individual. You need to run away from those things. She uses flattery. It says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Man, you know, you got to be careful hearing that insincere praise, those insincere compliments from a woman like this, because chances are you're not that cool. And chances are you're not really that good looking. And chances are you really don't have that much money. So if some like absolute beautiful girl is just coming on to you, it's like she might be a fed, okay? You know, you never know what's going on here. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter number 7. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. You know, we do ourselves a disservice to just pretend like this isn't a big danger. And men today are growing up in a world that's very difficult to navigate in this area because there's so much pushed on them with the internet. Kids are getting exposed to things online at a very, very young age. The movies are promoting people like Sydney Sweeney. Regular TV commercials are promoting people just taking off their clothes like Sydney Sweeney. Many churches are not preaching hard against fornication. And so, man, it's hard to be a young person growing up in this generation and making it to the wedding altar pure. But you know what? That's what we should be instructing our kids to do. That's what pastors should be thundering forth and not just getting on board with whatever the Republican Party is promoting. That means that we should promote it too. No, look at verse 26. Verse 26 of chapter 6. Go back a page. Chapter 6, verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You know that saying? That a whorish woman will destroy your life. You know, whether that's through fornication and having bastard children, and all of a sudden your life is just changed for forever. Or through fornication and you knock up some girl and she goes and aborts your child. You know, you're brought to a piece of bread in that situation. Your life is changed for forever. Or you're a married man and you give in to the wicked sin of adultery. You know what? Your life can be destroyed. You know what? You should stay married no matter what. But here's the reality. Sometimes if you go and commit adultery, your wife runs away. Now, of course, that's wrong. We preach against that. But you know what? Don't even put her in that position. Don't put her in that position to be tempted that way. You know, ladies, don't put your husband in a situation to even be tempted with something like that. How does it come from? From whoredom. Look at verse number 26. It says, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. What's the Bible saying? This is one of those sins that you cannot play around with whatsoever. And don't think that you're not going to have consequences if you go down this road. Like, you for sure will get burned. You can't hold fire in your bosom. You can't walk upon hot coals without for sure getting injured. Well, guess what? If you go down the road of fornication or adultery, your life will for sure be in shambles. You for sure will experience pain. And it makes me think about one time I was working in downtown Portland. This illustration of how your feet are going to be burned if you walk upon hot coals. I think I've told you guys this before. But I'm working on a road construction crew. We're laying down fresh asphalt. And like this demon-possessed woman or woman on drugs or something walks completely naked through our work scene on the hot asphalt, like growling and like foaming at the mouth. And she's just like barefoot on this 400 degrees asphalt. And I'm like, well, she might not be showing any pain because she's on drugs or whatever, but I guarantee you that she got burned from that. Well, it's like, hey, you go and commit adultery, you go and commit fornication, you will for sure experience consequences. That's what this is saying here. So Sydney Sweeney is a literal whore. If I haven't proven it to you by what she does on screen, let me reveal another fact to you about Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney partnered up with a soap company called Dr. Squatch, where she sold her used bathwater-infused soap. We got guys laughing over there. All the ladies look horrified, and the guys are laughing. It's horrible. I mean, this is so gross. How much of a simp do you have to be to buy someone's used bathwater soap, folks? And Christians are promoting someone that sells their used bathwater soap? What is wrong with you? Like, how far away are you from the Bible? Okay, guess what? Her bathwater soap, Sydney's Bathwater Bliss, is being sold online right now on eBay for $1,500 a bar. $1,500 a bar. This is how just like weak and just simping out all these guys are for Sydney Sweeney. It's like, hey, dude, I have an idea. Why don't you like get a job and do some push-ups, brush your teeth, put on some deodorant, and stop just like simping out over Sydney Sweeney all day. You know, stop. If you do take a bath, it's with Sydney Sweeney's Bathwater Bliss. You know, why don't you go ahead and throw that in the trash and just become a normal person? Because no girl wants to date a guy who's using Sydney Sweeney's bathwater. I mean, the ladies would be horrified if they came home to find the Sydney Sweeney Bathwater Bliss. I mean, how ridiculous is this? I shouldn't even have to explain to you why this is so crazy. But yet Christians are supporting this stuff today. Released in June of 2025. Following its launch, the product quickly sold out on the official website. I heard that it sold out in seconds. Like it released and just like in seconds it was sold out. Since then, third-party resellers have gotten their hands on the bathwater soap and put it back up for sale. Again, some going up to $1,500. Things I never thought I'd talk about in a sermon. But man, this world's just getting dark. This world's getting crazy. And you know, we need Baptist preachers to be the ones who actually talk about it and actually call it out for what it is. Go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, look at verse number 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Man, if spending $1,500 of your hard-earned cash to buy a bar of soap is not giving your strength unto women, I don't know what is. You know, this is like the ultimate simpery that I've ever seen in my life. Just giving away your treasure for some woman who doesn't care about you, who would never give you the time of day. Okay, this is some millionaire 28-year-old woman. She does not care about the dweebs, the online weirdos that are buying her soap, yet they're just giving their strength unto women. Men today are just giving their strength unto women. Men are giving their strength unto women by committing fornication with them, by sleeping with them before marriage. You know what you should do? You should reject all of that. You should find one woman and you should award all your strength to her. That's what you should do. You should find a wife that you're going to provide for financially and give her all your strength. Give her all your love. Give her all your protection. You know, that's what you should be doing with your life. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. So we see she's wearing pants. She's a literal whore. And here's the thing. Even when she is wearing a dress, obviously this is not a modest dress. This is not something that you would want your wife to walk into Anchor Baptist Church wearing, even when she is wearing a dress. What does the Bible say? 1 Timothy chapter number 9. Chapter number 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. The Bible instructs women to adorn themselves in modest apparel. You know, there's many reasons for this. Number one is that obviously it's just God honoring. You're honoring the Lord by doing that. God said to do it, and so obeying him is just honoring to God. You know, also because women who are flaunting their bodies all the time, women who are dressing immodestly, you are going to attract the wrong type of guy. You are, because here's the thing. Men, all men are attracted to women, but godly men, they want an attractive wife and something more. They, of course, want an attractive woman just like any guy, but they want something more there. They want something more than just skin-deep beauty. They want a woman of character. They want a woman that they can trust. You know, the Proverbs 31 woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. It's hard for a man to trust his wife when every time she goes out of the house, she's showing off every inch of her body. You have to ask, why would a woman want to do that? Why would a woman want to show off her body like that? She's obviously looking for some sort of, you know, attention that's extramarital. That's going to cause your husband to not have trust in you. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. So notice, you're not supposed to focus only on adorning yourself with all the outward clothing and the riches and the gold and the apparel and all those things, but that hidden man of the heart, notice this, which is not corruptible. Here's the thing about your looks is that your looks will fade. No woman wants to face that reality. I know it's like a hard thing to think about, but you know what? As you age, your beauty will fade. Now, of course, that's only one type of beauty, though, because the Bible talks about how the gray head is a beautiful thing, if it be found in the way of righteousness. How the glory of young men is their strength, but the beauty of old men is the gray head, right? So there is a certain beauty when it comes to aging, if you're aging as a godly person. You know, if you're a godly person, you're using your life to serve other people, you love other people, people are going to find you to be a beautiful person. They're going to look at you and say, like, this is a beautiful individual. Why? Not just because of their looks, but because of their character, because of their actions, because of their heart. Whereas if all you are is just skin-deep beauty, well, then guess what? You're just going to be used up in your youth while people find value in you. And as soon as that stuff fades, you're going to be discarded and no one's going to care about you. That's just the truth. And you know what? Ladies today, they're very into their appearance. Of course, it's just a natural thing about them. But you have to realize that you need to make sure that you have more than what's skin deep. You need to care about having that meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. That's what God values today, is a woman who's humble, who's meek, who just wants to hear his word, who just wants to follow what he says, who wants to be on his program, who wants to be submissive to her husband, who wants to cover her body, who wants to praise God at church, who wants to raise godly children. You know, that's the type of woman that God praises. That's the type of women, by the way, that conservatives and Christians should be lifting up. You know, I'm way more proud of the women here at Anchor Baptist Church and Steadfast and ladies that actually love God than some whore named Cindy Sweeney. Oh, America's so back. No, if America's going to be back, it's going to be because of ladies like this, not because of ladies like Cindy Sweeney. And you know what? I take it back. She's not a lady. You know, that word should be reserved for godly people. No, she's just a whore, really. But think about this. Like I said, as you age, there's a godly beauty when you're doing what's right. But have you ever seen someone age as they get old and they can't let go of their youth because of the fact that everything in their life is wrapped up in the carnal, in the temporal, in the things of this world? So as they get older, they are just so afraid of letting go of their youth and they just can't do it. Whereas you see someone who's godly, hey, aging just happens. And you see women who, they age gracefully. They age beautifully. You see men, they've got the gray head, they've got the hoary head, and it's a crown of glory unto him. Okay? That's what you want to strive for. Not like one of these people that can never leave their 20s. They're in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and they're trying to be in their 20s. Let me give you an example of this. Whenever I think about this, I think of one person, Axl Rose. Does anyone know who Axl Rose is? He's the singer of Guns N' Roses. Come on, you guys have to know this. sweet child of mine, welcome to the jungle. Okay, you guys know who this guy is, very famous. Well, Axl Rose, back in the 80s and 90s, was one of the biggest superstars in the world. Very talented guy. Well, right now, he's in his 60s, and he's still performing. And it is horrific. It is a train wreck. He wears, like, the tight leather pants, but he's got a 60-year-old body. He's got a beer belly, and he wears, like, the weird 80s crop tops. You know, everyone talks about how the 80s were so great, but it's like the 80s, I feel like, were the beginning of trans crap in our society. You know, all these rock stars wearing makeup and dressing up like girls and looking like freaks. So, like, Axl Rose, he was talented in the 80s and 90s. Here he is in his 60s, and he just can't let go. He just can't realize that he's in his 60s. And when he sings, he sounds like Mickey Mouse. It's hilarious. Welcome to the jungle. You listen to it. I'll send you guys a link after this. It is so cringe. But it's just like he can't let go because his whole life, it has nothing to do with the King James Bible, has nothing to do with serving God, has nothing to do with things that are eternal. It's just all about the flesh. He's just stuck in his rock star years. And it's like, ladies don't realize that, okay, things might work out for you when you're Sydney Sweeney's age and you have Sydney Sweeney's looks. And she probably thinks like she's on top of the world. Everything's so great. But you know what? What is her life going to look like when she's 38, 40, 50, 60? You know, what is her life going to look like when she has no husband? She's not married. Explain to me why a girl like Sydney Sweeney is not married. Is it because no guy finds her attractive? Is it because there's no guy out there that would have taken her as a wife? No, it's because she literally sold her soul to the devil. That's why. Because she literally just gave her life over to fornication and harlotry and whoredom and just promoting her body for money. And you know what she traded at the expense of that? Having a husband, having children. You know, she's 28 years old, and she has, by choice, intentionally refused to have children. You know what? She's probably going to regret that when she's 40. And look, obviously, there's people that just struggle in that area, but just deciding not to have kids on purpose is a stupid thing to do. And you know what? You're on top of the world at 28, and you're beautiful, and you've got all this money, but what do you have to offer your Jewish overlords when you're 40-something? What do you have to offer them, you know, when your beauty starts to decline, and you have no husband that loves you? You have no kids to raise. You just wasted it all away. Ladies, they need to be warned not to just trade all their value for this vanity in their youth. Don't trade all the value that you have of being someone's wife, of being someone's mother, just to start an OnlyFans in your 20s. Because let me tell you something, guys don't want girls that do that. Guys don't like the high body counts. Guys don't like girls that flaunt themselves for the screen, especially godly men. They don't want those things. Look at verse number, actually go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, Deuteronomy 23. While you're turning there, I'll read for you Proverbs 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Hey, that is the type of ladies that Christians should be praising today. You know, men, we ought to be praising our wives, praising our godly mothers, praising the ladies in our church. These, you know, if America's going to be back, it's going to be back through ladies like that, not through people like Sydney Sweeney. Deuteronomy chapter number 23, verse 17, the Bible says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore, nor the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both of these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know, the Bible says that whores aren't even allowed at church. You have today Christians reposting and celebrating Sydney Sweeney when the Bible says that whores aren't even supposed to be in church. You know, if you are in a fornication relationship, if you're living with your boyfriend before marriage and that's found out, it's brought to your attention, it's preached about, you just refuse to repent, you'd be kicked out of church. You know, Sydney Sweeney, she's unmarried, but do you think Sydney Sweeney is a virgin, folks? Highly doubt that. I highly doubt that. And so what is she? She's a whore. And if Sydney Sweeney, you know, tried to come to a church like this, she would have to repent of that to be welcome here. And obviously, look, we don't hate people involved in fornication. We want them to be saved. We want them to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. It's not loving to excuse major sins. It's not the loving thing to do. Because you know what you're doing? Is you're sending the message to all the young girls in this room that it's okay to grow up and be like Sydney Sweeney. Is that a loving thing to do? You know, I've got four beautiful daughters, and I would be horrified if they grew up like Sydney Sweeney. Those of you who have sons, how would you like someday for your son to fall after and get involved in fornication with some whore like Sydney Sweeney. How would you like that? No. So you know what we need to do? We need to, from the pulpit, defend the things that the Bible talks about and make sure that we don't allow fornication in this church. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. So we talked about, hey, Sydney Sweeney should not be wearing jeans at all. Number 2, Sydney Sweeney is a literal whore. Number 3, Sydney Sweeney should be at home in the kitchen. Sydney Sweeney should not be some sort of movie star, millionaire. Sydney Sweeney should be married and at home in the kitchen. Look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. Here's God's will. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So notice, how do young ladies go down a path in life where they're not going to end up following Satan and worshiping Satan? How do they do that? They get married. And that's God's will. God's will for young women today, and for young men for that matter, is to get married. And today, the Gen Z generation is in mass forsaking marriage. Marriage is a thing that is on the back burner in their mind. My generation, we grew up being told, you need to prioritize your career. You need to go have fun. You need to live your life in your 20s. You need to save $100,000 before you even think about getting married. That is the conventional wisdom that I was taught in school growing up. Did anyone else hear advice like that growing up? Yeah, there were some people that were taught that kind of stuff. But what does the Bible say? I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children. You know, having kids will help you not be a selfish person. There's just some things that come in life through experience. And by raising other human beings and having these, you know, screaming, needing things at your feet at all times that just constantly need your time and money and energy and attention, you know what it forces you to do? It forces you to become someone that's more selfless. And, you know, you see this when you go on missions trips and the family that has 9 kids, they're on time. Mom and dad is looking nice and sharp and the kids are lined up in a row. And then the single guys are crawling out of bed and are late to everything, you know, because they have not gone through life caring about other people. They haven't had to been forced to do that yet. God wants young ladies to get married, to bear children, to guide the house. So keeping the house is a lot of work. Cleaning the house, doing the meals, you know, making the kids clothes and getting them all dressed and all that kind of stuff, that keeps you busy. Why? For some are already turned aside after Satan. Some are already turned aside after Satan. Again, what is a 28-year-old girl like Sydney Sweeney doing? Not married. She decided to follow the devil. She decided to follow after Satan. And notice, by women doing this, it gives great occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. How do you think the world sees this? How do you think Islam sees this? How do you think other countries in the world sees this? When what are Christians promoting today? Sydney Sweeney. You know what that does? That gives Christianity a bad name. Because you have other cultures in this world like Japan, or you have other cultures in this world like Muslim countries, where they are socially pretty conservative. I mean, even beyond what the Bible teaches sometimes. We're all for women dressing modestly, but it's not like you have to only show your eyeballs or something like that. You know, the ladies in the Middle East wearing their ninja suits. How do you think the ninja suit guys feel about Christians supporting Sydney Sweeney? And Christians saying, like, America's so back because we have a whore dancing around on screen. They're going to say, that's Christianity? Oh, that's what followers of Jesus are like? That's what biblical Christianity is? They're like, I think we'll stick with Islam then. I think we'll just keep our women under the ninja suit so that she doesn't end up like Sydney Sweeney. You know what? And of course, that's horrible. That's wrong because Islam's sending all those people to hell. But you know what? Shame on Christians for giving Christ a bad name among the world. And that's exactly what you're doing when you're promoting someone like Sydney Sweeney. Go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2, look at verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Again, you see that connection between ladies living a godly life or ladies choosing not to live a godly life, and what happens? The word of God is blasphemed. And so there it says that the aged women have a ministry. The aged women are supposed to be teaching through their lifestyle, through their conversation. They're supposed to be showing the example to the younger ladies to be sober, discreet, chaste, to love their husbands. So, you know, ladies who are already married, you know, regardless of what actual number your age is, you should try to be setting an example for the younger ladies coming up and saying like, hey, this is actually what's going to get you happiness in life is obeying your husband. You know, don't be a terrible example and be a loudmouth or be someone that bad talks your husband or be someone that contradicts him and, you know, disobeys him in public. That's setting a bad example for the next generation. Tell the next generation to actually follow what the Bible says. That's going to bring glory and honor to God. I'll read for you Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know what we should be exalting and lifting up today is big families. We should be lifting up and exalting parents deciding to not be selfish and deciding to actually have lots of kids to be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because the Bible says that when you have your quiver full of those children, that happy is that man. You're happy. And so again, those of us who are already married, the ladies who are already married, what you should be doing is exalting and promoting the next generation. Hey, you should have children. You should get married. You should have children. You should let God bless you with children. Don't buy into this world's mentality where it's like, well, let's be married for 5 years first, then start having kids. Or let's be like Sydney Sweeney and spend our whole 20s focusing on the career, focusing on self, and then hopefully someday have kids. No, you should have kids as soon as you can. And look, if you can't, pray. I'll pray with you. I'll labor with you in prayer for that. Those in the Bible who were barren, who prayed, God answered that prayer. But what I just hate seeing is I hate seeing Christians just intentionally shooting themselves in the foot and intentionally not having kids or just spending their 20s on birth control. Then they get to their 30s and they find out, oh man, I'm having issues now. What a horrible thing that is. You know what? You'll be happy if you have lots of kids. We should be promoting having lots of kids. We should not look up to someone like Sydney Sweeney who is sacrificing her childbearing years for money. What a shallow, vain person she is to just sacrifice children, sacrifice her marriage just for money. You know, money does not buy you happiness, folks. She's a multimillionaire, 28-year-old, but she's completely alone. She's living a vain life. She's probably getting used by a bunch of dirty Jews, you know, because that industry is horrific. It's probably worse than anything we can imagine what happens to those Hollywood actresses. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. But here's the thing. Again, the world is just so infatuated with the physical relationship. And again, I think the old IFB has done people a disservice by not talking about it. Because here's what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants you to believe that, hey, if you get out of church and you go out into the world and you just follow the lusts of your flesh, then you know what? You're just going to be partying it up with someone like Sydney Sweeney. That's what God. That's what the devil wants young men to believe today. The devil wants young men to look at someone like Sydney Sweeney and think in their heart, that's what I want in life. That's going to bring me happiness in life. That's going to make me really happy. Or young ladies, they're going to watch the stupid rom-coms, right? Or the weird smut books that are out there that ladies for some reason just love. And they're just going to read those things and fantasize about those things and think, man, if I could just find the retired artist, Fabio, who has no real job, and he's just going to sweep me off my feet and it's going to be so wonderful. Like, that's what the devil wants you to think. But here's the truth, is that God has created that physical relationship as a gift, and it is something to be enjoyed in marriage. And I believe that Christians who do things biblically will have the best physical relationship aspect of their life than anyone in the world. And that, see, that's what the devil does not want you to know. The devil wants you to think like, oh yeah, going out in the world is so fun, sowing your wild oats. No, 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 you're going to get STDs. That's what you're going to do. No, you're going to have bastard children. No, you're going to knock up some girl that aborts your child, that kills your child. No, you're going to lose your marriage by committing adultery. You know, it's not good outside of marriage, but within marriage, it could be something that is wholesome and wonderful and great and a blessing from God. And you know what? Don't believe the stupid Catholics that try to act like this is something dirty or wrong. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. The Bible says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. God realizes that human beings were created the way that they are. We have all the same temptations as people who are unsaved. We have the flesh, right? And so God has created a way for us to avoid fornication. What is that? It's called getting married. Why is it that men get married? It's to have the physical relationship. I know people don't like to hear that, but that is just the truth. That's one of the most important reasons that you get married. And so look at verse number 3. The Bible says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. So wives and husbands are supposed to be rendering this due benevolence to their spouse whenever the spouse wants, because it's due benevolence. It's something that's owed to them. Verse number 4, feminist favorite verse in the Bible here. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. So it actually goes both ways here, that when it comes to the physical relationship, if your spouse asks for it, you can't say no, my friend. It's something that is due to them. The wife does not have power over her own body. The husband does. Now here's the thing. Young people that are tempted with fornication, they're just like, man, I just wish I could have this relationship whenever I want. Man, I just really wish I could have it. Get married and you can. Amen. Like, that's the whole point of getting married, right? Is that you can have that due benevolence whenever you want. And here's the thing. The world wants to tell you, it's so great out there. It's so wonderful. No, these people are like starving and they're hoping to go to the bar on a Friday night and get lucky with some floozy. That's really what's happening. Right. That's really what's happening in this world. You know what's happening in this world? Men have to pay money for women called prostitutes because they're so, you know, hungry in this area. They're so thirsty in this area that they're literally having to pay money to get it. Doesn't sound to me like people are really thriving in this area.
Right.
But you know who is? People who are married and follow what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so oppressive. It's so terrible. Our lives are like literally the best. Like here's the thing. Christians, the way of life of a Christian is just better in every single area.
Right.
And you know what? I think Christians should set the example in every area of life. And I just promise you that Christian married life is better than anything that the world has to offer.
Amen.
Because these morons, these stupid idiots, are buying bathwater and lusting after Sydney Sweeney on the screen, and they're still getting absolutely nothing. That's the truth. And it's like the single guys today need to realize that there's this thing called marriage, and you need to stop being such an idiot, being like, all right, well, I want her to look like Sydney Sweeney, but be a soul winner, be three to thrive. She has to have read her Bible cover to cover 10 times. She has to have the entire New Testament memorized. She has to have the Protocols of Zion memorized. She has to have read Mein Kampf 3 times. She has to speak German and English. It's like, dude, find a girl that you like. Find a girl that you love. Find a girl that you are going to love and you are going to serve and you are going to invest in, instead of just looking for this physical relationship robot to fall down from heaven. Because that is what a bunch of these moron single guys are looking for today. They're not thinking, I never hear them say, like, I can't wait to be a good husband. I never hear them say, like, I can't wait to spiritually lead a family. I can't wait to invest in someone else. It's always just like, I can't wait from this, you know, 10 out of 10 and fisher of men to fall down from heaven and to just worship before my feet. And a lot of these guys, they want foreign women. They're like, oh, they don't speak English? Even better. They're like, that's actually the ideal situation. And it's like, this is why you're single, man. You need to actually have some realistic expectations. It's like, okay, you're unemployed. You're unattractive. You don't hit the gym. Your mile time's like 16 minutes. But you want Sydney Sweeney. Bro, wake up. Wake up. Find a girl that you like. Find a girl that you're going to serve, that you're going to love, that you're going to invest in, that you can serve God together with, and love that woman. Marry her. If you're waiting for a unicorn, you're going to be waiting your whole life. And while married people are over here just having the time of our lives, you are just wasting your life and dying and just like desiring a sip of bathwater. It's like really sad today what's happening. Man. Go to, if you would. Let's read verse 5 here. It says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So notice, according to the Bible, to pause this relationship, you have to get permission. It's not that you have to get permission to engage in this relationship. When you get married, you say to have and to hold from this day forth, right? You made that vow. And so that relationship is now on the table and it's whatever you want. The Christian life is better than the world says. But notice why God has it this way, so that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Again, the devil knows that people struggle in this area. So if this relationship is not being fulfilled in marriage, that's when the temptation is going to come in from the devil through adultery, through fornication, through Sydney Sweeney on the screen, through all this bad stuff that is out there. You know, how do we as Christians safeguard against our young people just being destroyed by this stuff? It's to encourage them to get married. Encourage them to get married. It's better to marry than to burn. Don't follow this world's advice where it's like, well, you have to wait till you have $100,000. You know what? Just trust in the Lord. Just get married and trust in the Lord. It's better to be poor married than to be rich and not right with God committing fornication. Amen. It's better to be poor and living in an apartment and not having the best things, but to at least be right with God
right.
and not committing fornication than going out in the world and doing these things.
Amen.
That would be my advice. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're almost done this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And as we read this, ask yourself, you know, is someone like Sydney Sweeney doing this? Would you want your daughters following in her path? 1 Timothy 2, verse 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. You know, we saw that it was God's will for ladies and for men to get married, and it's God's will for ladies to have children. It says that she shall be saved in childbearing. Obviously not talking about going to heaven, but by bearing children, that lifestyle is going to save you from a life of sin. It's going to save you from going down the road of idleness, being a busybody, being a tattler, being a railer, getting involved in fornication, all that wicked stuff. You know, having kids is going to keep us busy with the right things. So not only would I advise people to get married young and to enjoy their spouse young, but also to have kids young. And you know what? This is also important because marriage has its ups and downs. And one of the things that keeps people together is children. People all the time say, like, man, the only thing that kept me in my marriage was the kids. And look, I hope that's not the only thing keeping you in your marriage. But if it is, then praise God.
Yeah.
If that's the only thing keeping you married, well, then stay married for the kids. And maybe today people need to be taught to have children as just an extra anchor in their marriage. Because it's hard to break up that union when you've got kids on the line. At least if you have any type of conscience, that would be hard for you to do, to break up your kids' homes. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 will be the last verse we look at. What is the lesson I want us to come away from this sermon with? It's this. Don't base your views, don't base your opinions in life, just based on whatever the most recent trend is. Don't be a trend follower. Don't, even amongst conservatives and Republicans, don't think like anything that's in with them, it must be good, must be great. No. We need to actually be reading the Bible. We need to actually be following God's view of life, have God's opinions, God's standards, and not just be like, well, Sydney Sweeney's loved by the right. Well, we must love her too. We must think she's great too. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, that's what we should be doing today, is rendering our bodies to the Lord to be used the way that he wants us to use them, to use our minds the way that he wants us to use them, to hold the opinions that God has, not just following this world's trends. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for the word of God, just to keep us anchored and rooted in the right things. I pray for the young people listening to this, that you would just help them to stay far away from the temptations of fornication and whoredom. I pray that young people today would receive blessing and mercy and grace from you in finding a godly spouse. I pray for all the single people in our church and in the New IFB that are desiring a godly spouse, that you just help them to have the right expectations for dating and for marriage, and that you'd help them to find a godly person, Lord. For those of us who are married, I pray that you would help us to be far away from temptation with these type of sins in our own marriage, that you bless us, Lord. I pray for those who are barren, that you would give them children, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hymn this morning will be number 177. When Love Shines In. When Love Shines In. I know this may be new for some folks here, and other folks know it really well. So if you do know it, please sing it out nice and loud so that those that don't know it can learn it. 177, When Love Shines In. There on the first.
Jesus comes with power to gladden when love shines in.